Okay, we're continuing with Yeridas and Kuktsadidal and the halachos of Yoledes. Basically, in Se'if Beis, so the halacha is that a Yoledes after Arba'im Yom, we're choshesh for the Vlad. Toch Arba'im Yom, we are not choshesh for the Vlad, but we are choshesh for Nida. Right, that's the basic halacha, that Yetziras HaVlad is with Arba'im Yom. If you've ever gone on a discovery seminar, so they tell you that this is one of those things that is a raya, that Torah is min HaShamayim, and it proves everything, because there actually is in Metzius a change, that after Arba'im Yom, you can see that the heart has chambers. Before Arba'im Yom, there is no indication that the heart has chambers. After Arba'im Yom, so you see that. So does this prove the authenticity of Torah? I'm somewhat skeptical, but... Does this prove the authenticity of Torah? I'm somewhat skeptical. However, it certainly is an interesting phenomenon. If you're interested in some of these things, on the Rationalist Judaism blog this week, Rabbi Dr. Natan Slifkin posted about how those in the world who try to argue that we could prove our emunah based on those areas where science brings a raya to halacha, as it were, are kind of failing to acknowledge for all those places where science and halacha kind of don't jive. And I happen to be a fan of Rabbi Slifkin. He has interesting things. But the basic halacha is that Ma'pelos Teich Arba'im Yom, we're not choshesh for the Vlad. La'ach Arba'im Yom, so we assume that E.F. Shalop Psichas HaKever below Dam. V'naf Gemina, meaning, so what if it's Yashab Sikhas Akever Beloidam? The nafkamina is that Miyad Achasha suffer Zayin Nikiyim Yomuteres, and you're not Choshesh for the Vlad. In other words, there would have been a nafkamina at a time beforehand in terms of being Boal and Dam Tohar, but today, since we're not Boal and Dam Tohar, the only nafkamina is in terms of Zayin Nikiyim. That's what the Rambam adds. It's a very beautiful. A very beautiful halacha. Now, when I talk about Arba'im Yom, how do I recognize, how do I calculate the 40 days of Yetziras HaVlad? From when? So, you guys think, like, Schwartz, what you talking about? Like, what type of kash is this? The Teretz seems to be, however, there's a machlokes of Rishonim. Both the Gilui and Maharsha over here point out, and if you read the Pesachim Shuvim Sifkat and Gimel refers to Navodas HaGershuni. Navodas HaGershuni is dealt with in greater length in the Sidrei Tahara Os Zayin, if I'm not mistaken. But the basic issue goes as follows. Rashi writes on the Mishnah Daf Lamed that Arba'im Yom is what Tevilasa. Rashi says 40 days after she went to the mikvah. Now, what Rashi seems to be saying, and this isn't much of a chiddush, is that, well, if the woman went to the mikvah, that means she was a nida. If she was a nida, she ain't pregnant. No? Right? If you're a nida, you're not pregnant. So therefore, it's 40 days after you went to the mikvah. Kahi shitas Rashi. Okay. The Rambam, however, writes, that's Arba'im Yom after Tashmish. Now, obviously, sometimes you go to the mikveh, you don't have Tashmish till later. Sometimes, maybe you didn't have Tashmish after the mikveh, maybe you had Tashmish before the mikveh. The question seems to really be, is it possible to be a nida while you are pregnant? No? That seems to be one of the large questions. So the Avodas HaGershuni over here jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels and says, well, it's Arba'im Yom l'tevilasa, like Rashi writes. Because you're not pregnant, because if you were a nida, you couldn't have been pregnant. And the Chavistas in Sifkat and Beis, the Chavistas over here disagrees. And the Chavistas says, one second, the halacha is earlier in Kuf Pei Tes, Sif Lamed Gimel or something, we paskin that a woman can even be Kaveya Vesas during the first 3 months of pregnancy. That means that you can get your period even though you're pregnant, no? So, what's going on in this one? What's going on over here? So, it's an interesting question. It's certainly something to think about. Halacha l'maisa. So, poskim assume that in our world, you never are going to get a period while you're pregnant. But what that means is like a full-fledged period. Sometimes women do have some staining or some very light flows. It, by the way, in terms of the scary things in life, when your wife is pregnant and she wakes up and she says, I'm bleeding, you're like, oh my gosh, that's like really scary. You think that chas v'shalom was a miscarriage. It's a very frightening thing. Bismana Gemara, what's the big deal? Okay, I get my period, but I'm still pregnant. You could be Kaveya Vesas the first 3 months. Amazing, gavaldic, wonderful. But today, it doesn't happen. So today, if you get a real period, we know that you're not pregnant. And therefore, the Shevet HaLevi writes on page 244 that Imtira Vesas Regila Vadai Enam Uberes. V'rak b'kesem yesh lachosh, and re'iyas ma'at, shelo kedech veses, ein limnes miyayim hatavila. So halachically, even though classical poskim sided with the Chavis Das, not with the Avodas HaGershuni, the practical halacha would be that we calculate arba'im yom from the zman of the tevila, not from the zman of the last tashmish, because we know that you are not. We know that you are not going to have a period if you are pregnant. That seems to be the issue. Okay, that seems to be the halacha l'maisa calculation. Look in Chacham Ovadia, volume 2. Page 49, that today we paskin based on pregnancy tests, no? We calculate from, we use science to indicate at what point you are pregnant. Again, this is nafka minos for dinim da'iraisa, no? Because this din of arba'im yom, right? And I should say, by the way, that we paskin against this phantom Ramban, right? The Torah quotes that the Ramban assumes that it's Shmonim Yom l'Nekeva, and Arba'im Yom l'Zachar, no? But the Beis Yosef says that probably the Tur had a wrong girsa in the Ramban, that Halacha L'maisa, we assume it's Arba'im Yom for both. It's a Machlokes HaTanoim, whether it's Arba'im Yom l'Zachar and l'Nekeva or not. If you're interested in some interesting reads on this topic, look in the first Torah HaShlomim here, in the Siman, where the Torah HaShlomim tries to defend this phantom Shita, the Shita that Shmoinim Yoim l'Nekeva, no? The Gemara at the beginning of Sota writes, Arbo'im Yoim Koidim Yetziris Havla, the Bas Kol comes out and says, Bas Ploni L'Ploni, no? It's a famous Gemara, right? First off in Sota. So Taisus writes, Koidim Yetziris Havla means Koidim Azachar. So the Taisus HaShlomim, it's a raya that even the Bali HaTaisus are paskening like this other Shita in the Tanoi, in the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael, that for in the cave it's going to be Shmonim Yom. I have no idea. I think in Metzius, there's no way of differentiating gender until like much later, as far as we know. We have like from ultrasounds. Any of you planning on being doctors? So at what point? No? You're not a doctor yet. Come on, like Hashem La'azi. You should know this stuff. All right? Torah Mada, Mata Heyalah.
3 months.
I think that might be correct, actually. I have no idea. The following case is discussed in the Nishmas Avram, which, by the way, is still not on the shelf in the base measure, so I am quoting it from my notes, and I'm assuming that I wrote it down correctly last time. If you find the Nishmas Avram in Yerideya, please shout, and I'm happy to take a look. A baby 42 days after the pregnancy began, they have a miscarriage, 42 days. Now, this actually could be a serious suffix. You see, the Gemara tells us, and we know from Metzius also, that klitas hazara does not necessarily happen right away, no? The zara, the sperm, can be vital. The sperm can be alive for 3 days after ejaculation. That's one. So now that means that if they had sex, right, it could be that it didn't implant until 3 days later, no? And l'cha'ora in mitzias, right, when I talk about the age of the embryo, it should be from it when the sperm hits the egg, right? And when it implants. So I have one suffix. This baby, maybe it's not yet 40 days. I have another suffix. If you had, oftentimes, when the baby, when you have the miscarriage, that means that the baby died a little bit beforehand, no? It's not that the baby dies and the second the baby dies, it comes out. The baby died, and you don't know it's dead until a little bit later. So I have another suffix. Maybe the baby died before Arba'im Yoyim. The Shaila is whether there's Tumas Yoledes in a case like this, and we'd have to be Choshesh for Yoledes in the Keva, right, of 14 days. And maybe it's a Yoledes Zachar. So I have a Svek Sveka, right, three suffix, no? Maybe Kletus Hazera took place later. Maybe it died before 40 days. Maybe it's a Zachar. So can I assume that we just, and if it's a Zachar, by the way, for our practical purposes, you only treat it like regular Nida. So maybe you don't have to wait 2 weeks. Now, by the way, for a Rav in practical halacha, these shilos are very important. Oftentimes, especially for couples having difficulty conceiving, oftentimes the miscarriage is very painful. It's a very difficult experience. And you want the couple to be able to be together again shortly after. One of the difficult things after a miscarriage is you can't even hug and kiss, no? Like, you're a nida. And we want the couple to be able to be together, so that week of time is very significant, potentially. So what's the din? So the Nishmas Avram quotes that he discusses Shaila with Rav Neubert, the author of the Shmira Shabbos Kilchasa, and Rav Neubert was Mekel. Rav Neubert was Mekel based on the Svek Sveka. That's already an interesting nekuda. It's kedai if you ever have a shaila like this. A couple says that they miscarried, right? Is it Arba'im Yoyim or not? So that's an important shaila. What about the following case? I remember discussing this with Gedalia Berger, who's my not relative. He teaches Hilchos Nida to the Yoatzot, and he's not my not relative. He's my brother-in-law's brother, right? He teaches Hilchos Nida. So one time at a family simcha, like we had nothing better to do, so we decided to discuss a shaila. A woman passes a pregnancy test, fails a pregnancy test, however you want to call it. So she knows she's pregnant, and within Arba'im Yoyim, you miscarry. Is there any concern for Yoledes in that case? So rumor has it, Gedalia, no, what? Again, so you know that you're pregnant because you take a pregnancy test and you know you're pregnant. And you know it's less than 40 days. Is there any need to be worried about Yoledes? Do you assume that Arba'im Yoyim is just like a marker in halacha that you're not sure you're pregnant until that point or some level? Or do I assume, and if I am sure I'm pregnant, so then there could be Yoledes earlier? Or do I assume that, no, Arba'im Yoyim is a shear. Now the pashtus is it's a shear. Like, there's some shmua out there, I have not confirmed this, there's some shmua out there that Rabbi Willig once paskined that a woman who knew she was pregnant but toich Arba'im Yoyim had to keep the dinim of Yoledes. I did not confirm this with Rabbi Willig. He was not around this morning, but I remember having a conversation with Rabbi Berger, and we both thought that Arba'im Yoyim was like an absolute shear, no? And I think that's the pashtus. Like, I don't know. I'm not even sure Rabbi Willig said it, but there's some shemua out there that the Rabbi Willig said something different. It would be interesting, no? Fine. Should we go weiter? Let's go weiter. We'll talk a little more Torah. Yoni, how are you?
Good. Maybe I'm missing something. What's
Okay, yeah, so what is the Matthias of Yolanda's Reserve? The Pashas in Yolanda's Reserve would be that the woman started bleeding like in the 9th month or something, and then she has a baby after.
How could she start bleeding? She's pregnant in the 9th month, too.
Right. So apparently in the 9th month, sometimes weirder things happen. At the beginning of pregnancy, it's much more scary. The other mitzvah, so you'll let us bezova, I was just talking with Rabbi Zilberin yesterday. Apparently there is a condition out there that has been seen by doctors who saw lots of patients of women who have 2 uteruses. Which would mean that it's technically possible that what? That you are bleeding needs off from one uterus and you're pregnant in the other uterus. Doctor, look into this one for us, okay?
There's 1 in 25,000 women.
You're quick. You must teach high school. Like, apparently high school kids do this all the time. And they're like Googling as you say it, no? So it's a condition. It's known that you could have 2 uteruses. Now, the shaila that Rebbe Yoshev discusses is when you're pregnant in one uterus, you still have to do bedikas in the other uterus.
Sorry, I made a mistake. 1 in 25,000 women has this. Sorry, it's 1 in 50 million women who actually has it. 1 in 25,000 could get pregnant in both uteruses.
Get pregnant in both uteruses.
Yeah, that was my mistake.
Right. So,
I haven't gotten that far yet.
So all I know, I'm only bringing this up as a way of showing that there's some metzius of having 2 uteruses, and therefore you could both be Anita and pregnant at the same time. Whoop! Big victory.
So according to the Rambam, who says that you're...
Yep, it stops once you're pregnant. It stops once you're hooker Oprah, yeah. In other words, hey, it stops once you're hooker Oprah. Okay, so these are... By the way, if you read the Sidrei Torah and Sifkatan Zayin, he has a whole arichos that the Avodas HaGershuni. By the way, the Avodas HaGershuni, for those of you keeping score, was Reb Gershon Ashkenazi, who was the chavrusa of the Shach's father. The Shach's father was a posek, no? The Shach a few places. We saw this recently in the Shach in Kuf Peches twice. He quotes from his father. The Shach quotes Dinim from his father. The Shach's father is Chavrusa, is the Avodas HaGershuni. And in the Tshuvas of the Shvus Yankiv, and in the Tshuva, and in the Chavastas, they both argue on the Avodas HaGershuni from the Kasha that we mentioned. And those who argue on the Avodas HaGershuni, I, Rashi says in Nida, that's Abotim Yom Tevilasa. So L'cha'ira, Rashi would sound exactly like the Avodas HaGershuni. So the Sidrei Tahara is Doche. He says maybe Rashi means Abotim Yom Tevilasa when it's a Tevila after a baby. Once you had a baby, you ain't pregnant again, no? You're not still pregnant. Again, maybe you have 2 uteruses. And maybe that would be like really unusual. Okay, Ken Zayin, and once we're in 2 uterus lands, I think anything is possible. Correct? Okay, let's go weiter. What is psichas? What is considered leida? At what point do you become a nida in the yeledes process? So the big discussion over here is found in the Tyrus Hashlemim Ois Beis, which is called the Solas Mincha Ois Beis. And it's also found in the Sidrei Tahara Ois Chaf Hei. And it's both referred to in the Piskei Tshuva Ois Ches. Basically, it goes like this. The case was a woman who goes into labor, and she calls the midwives, because that's what you do when you're in labor. And the midwives say you should sit down on the birthing stool. You should be Yoshva al Hamashber. And she sits down on the birthing stool. And one of the things that happens in childbirth, you're going to learn about this in Yiras Hashem when you guys go to childbirth classes. is, by the way, childbirth classes is like a totally different world. Once you go to childbirth classes, there is something called failure to progress. Failure to progress sounds like, you know, a bad anecdotal in SAR high school, right? That you are not making enough progress. But failure to progress in labor basically means that you go into labor and it just don't move. Now, in our worlds, what we do with labor that you are failing to progress is we give you shots of Pitocin, which is a hormone that will speed up the process. And that is called inducing labor, that they shoot you up with Pitocin. Sometimes before they go to Pitocin, they give like these homeopathic cures. You can go to an acupuncture therapist who will burn the bottom of your feet to try to get you to go into labor. You can have various and sundry kohashes, which are these drinks that you can take, and these various herbs to try to get you into labor. They encourage you to try to go into labor naturally. They will not allow you to remain pregnant beyond 2 weeks after your due date. And by the way, they calculate due date for Orthodox people based on mikveh date. Okay, sounds like Avodas HaGeshuni and Rashi. They won't let you go beyond that point. Beyond that point, they will induce. Now, you don't want to be induced, because any woman who has been induced will tell you that induced labor is much more painful than regular labor. No labor is fun, Rabosai. But induced labor, right? I know that labor is not fun because it's a pasuk in Parashas Bereishis, no? Be'etzev tel dibonim. Pashtus is that labor ain't fun, as I state in pasuk, correct? So, you don't want to be induced, because induced labor is even more painful than regular labor. But what are you going to do? So they give you all these options to speed up the process so that you will go into labor. I don't remember if this was with child number two or child number three. One of the things that they tell you to go into labor, my wife was not zocha to go into labor naturally until child number four. She had to be induced children one, two, and three. That's just the way it worked. And one of the things that they tell you to do to go into labor is to take a walk. So my wife decided to walk across the George Washington Bridge, to walk to New Jersey. Great idea. The problem is, of course, that what happens if you go into labor when you're on the George Washington Bridge, right? So you have to, like, cheshbon this out. You don't want to do that. So now, the story was, once upon a time, a woman goes into labor, the midwives say, you're in labor, sit down on the birthing stool on the mashbeir, and she does, and then failure to progress. It don't go anywhere. And not only does it not go anywhere, they're looking, no baby, and it turned out that this woman spends another month with kresa bein shinel. Another month when she is noticeably, obviously pregnant. So the shaila was, is she a nida from that time or not? You see, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Ches tells us. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that there are three possible signs for Leda. Right? In terms of what? In terms of being Mechal Shabbos. May Mosai Mechal Nalaha Esa Shabbos. One opinion is that you Mechal Shabbos, Mishi Yashal Mashber. Another opinion is that you Mechal Shabbos when Dam is Shoses. A third opinion is that you're Mechal Shabbos when Chaveroseha Nosos Osa Bagofeha, when her friends have to carry her in her arms. By the way, when you get to like the really late stages of pregnancy, walking is not comfortable, and at some point you can't really walk, no? So three possibilities in the Gemara, what is considered Yeledes L'chalel Olav Esa Shabbos. There is a Machlaikas HaRishayinim. Do we paskin that you need two out of three signs? Or do we paskin that one out of three signs is sufficient? And in Orech Chaim Shin Lamed, how many of you guys have gotten a chance to read Orech Chaim Shin Lamed yet? So how do we paskin? Any of the three signs. Any one of those three signs is enough to be considered a Yeledes. To be Mechalal Shabbos for you. Okay, beautiful. What about for Nida? Nowhere in Gemara do they discuss that in Yenida, at what point do you become a Yoledes? And those of you who will be going through this stage with your wife, Bisha Tova, will realize that it's not at all clear at what point in the parturition process, to use a Bleichian word, at what point in the parturition process do you become a Nida Alpi Halacha. So in the Tshuvas Nachlas Shiva, which is quoted in the Pisrei Tshuva Sivkat Nches, in the Sidri Tara Sivkat Nchaf Hei, it's quoted in the, what's his name, on the bottom of the page, the Teres HaShlamim, right, they all, on Sivkat Nbeis, they all quote Simin Tes in the Nachlas Shiva. I brought it here. Nish'alti She'ela Lefanai. Right? Someone asked me a question. A woman who's Mo'a Yameh HaLoledes Lefi Dimyona V'cheshbona. According to her cheshbin, she's about to have a baby. Vayhi hayom b'chevel lo, v'dima b'nav shekinepcho lo hatzirei leido. She thinks she's in childbirth. She thinks she's having contractions. Now, by the way, there are something out there called Braxton-Hicks contractions. Braxton-Hicks contractions. Some of you guys are shaking your heads like you know what this is, which is impressive, considering that some of the people shaking their heads are actually not married. Very chashuv, right? Maybe you're planning on being a midwife. I don't know. But Braxton-Hicks contractions are, you feel contractions, they're not really contractions. It's not pushing contractions. It's not contractions that there is any further dilation of the uterus, of the cervix. Right? There's no real contraction. So this woman feels labor, and she sends for the midwives, and all the midwives say that she's ready to have the baby. And they call the midwife to look at her, and then she ends up being pregnant for 4 more weeks. So what's the halacha in this case? Vihine, hanoshim shehein mimalchus polin meidos shehanohog hu b'chol medinas polin shetekev shekorin lachachoma b'hiboydekes asa'ishem higiyaz manu laledes imlav machzikin oisa b'tumeya utzricha lispar shiva nekiyim v'achar titar labayla ayidei tevila. The minig in Poland is that the moment you call the Yoledes, you are considered a Nida. You consider a Temeya. Usha'ar hanoshim ibnei Ashkenaz amru shelo shamu davar zemei oilam. Okay, women in Poland say we have a minhag. Women in Ashkenaz in Germany say that they never heard of such a minhag. So what's the halacha? So says the Nachlas Shiva, who, by the way, was from Poland. Okay, Nachlas Shiva is Reb Shmuel ben Reb David Halevi. Any of you guys who are going to be Rabbonim, okay, it's unfortunate that guys in Smicha don't know about the Nachlas Shiva anymore. The Nachlas Shiva is the classic sefer on shtaros. Any shtar you ever thought of is in the Nachlas Shiva. When Rabbi Willig put together the RCA prenup, the godless of Rabbi Willig, isn't that he like came up with such an amazing ein fal whatever? He knew Nachlas Shiva. The Nachlas Shiva has a shtar Tosefes Mizonos. That's all it is. It's straight out of Nachlas Shiva, gentlemen. No? The back of the Nachlas Shiva has a few tshuvas. No? The Nachlas Shiva that I have is from the library of Dr. Norman Lamb. Right? So I got his Nachlas Shiva. Very important sefer to know about. Nachlas Shiva writes that everybody knows that the Minhagim of Poland are better than the Minhagim of Germany. Do not say this over in Washington Heights. You will be shot. Minhagim of Poland are more reliable than Minhagim of Germany in general. Moreover, in this case, in Poland, they have a real Minhag. In Germany, they just say, we don't know of a Minhag. Moreover, the Minhag of Poland is based on the Gemara in Shabbos in Perek Mefanin of Mishateshev al Hamashber is considered Mei Mosai Psichas Hakever. So comes along the Nachlas Shiva and he's invoking the din of Psichas HaKever in Mesecha Shabbos invoking it to Hilchos Nida. And then the Nachla Shevatainas, that even those Rishayinim who say that you need two out of three signs to be Mechalo Shabbos, that's only for Shabbos. But for Nida HaChamura, where there is Kareis, so everybody would agree that one sign is enough, and Mishatesha Bal HaMashber, even without Dam Shai, says it's enough, because says the Nachoshev, it's a Davar Poshut, that once there is Dam Shai, says, of course you're a Nida. That means one sign is enough to be a Nida, and you don't need two signs. Now, it's a merit that the idea that Nachoshev is saying, because it seems to be backwards on a few accounts. It seems to be backwards. He's assuming that Minhagim of Poland are better than Minhagim of Germany. Okay, that I could forgive him for. It seems to be backwards. L'cha Oreh Shabbos is a Shaila Pekuach Nefesh. Pekuach Nefesh, L'cha Oreh, should be one out of the signs. I would think that anyone who says two signs is necessary for Shabbos, of course, is saying two signs is necessary for Nida. No? In this case, there was only one sign. She was Yashval HaMashber. She sat on the birthing stool, and then she didn't have the baby. This will mean, by the way, that you're keeping this woman, Anita, while she's pregnant. No? It could happen. Sometimes there's a condition today called the subchorionic bleed. No? A subchorionic bleed basically means that the way the baby implants into the uterus is underneath a little bit of skin, and it causes like a blood vessel to bleed, which is Nida blood. No? It can happen. It's very frightening. But women can become a Nida during during pregnancy with the subchorionic bleed. That could also be a way to deal with your issue. Yeah. Now, Nachla Shiva Paskin Zagir Tameya. The Achrayim disagree with the Nachla Shiva for two different reasons. And the Chavis Das disagrees with the Nachla Shiva because the halach of Iyashah Psichas HaKever Leidam is only when something comes out. If nothing comes out, so of course there's no Psichas HaKever. The Sidri Tahara disagrees with the Nachla Shiva because he says, in the crazy place he disagrees with Nachla Shiva because he says, Igloi Lumpil Salam Afreya, that it was not childbirth. From Yashval HaMashber, we're going to assume that you're a Nida, providing that childbirth comes out from that situation. If there's no childbirth from the situation, the Gloy Moslem Afreya, that it wasn't Psichas HaKever. No? Next time we learn, I went a little too slowly this time. Mirz Hashem on Sunday, we'll point out nafkaminas between the Chavos Das's Mahalach and the Mahalach of the Sidri Tahara, where everyone disagrees with the Nachla Shiva. In other words, we pass in against the minhag in Poland, but we'll have to discuss why. Also, go through the dinim in Hilchos Shabbos. Take out a practical book on Hilchos Nida, or childbirth, just to see some of the practical things. We'll have like a graphic shiur next time about various stages in the childbirth process and when you become a Nida or not. What could happen, what could not happen. Most of you have never had a baby. In fact, none of you who are in the room currently have had a baby. So it will be eye-opening. Okay, Chevra, you should have a wonderful Shabbos and a blessed day.